This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
That's right. The Drive is live as Tyler Milner is sliding into the studio as he is there, and Clint's in the building. I am here as well. We are here on the road live, a little Astros Day game as we are at Pitch 25 here in Edo. So come on out here, and like Clint said, it's going to get going here during the game, and especially after this bad boy ends. This thing is a hot spot to people like to get out to. And if you're in Reggie's position, or if you're in a position where you're trying to put your relationship on the line, this is a good spot out here to enjoy yourself. By the way, update here: it is still scoreless at Minute Maid down the street here in the third inning, 0-0, as the Astros. Last night they did a thing, fellas. They clinched the division. They won the AL West for the seventh time in 8 years, four times in a row.
Those Astros, they're kicking ass and taking names.
And technically seven times when it's been a full season in a row. They won that thing. And, hey, listen, congratulations to everybody from the top all the way down to the bottom.
Seven f***ing times.
They did this thing. They were 7-19 at one point. They were 10 games under 500. I mean, 10 games behind the Mariners not that long ago. And they have flipped the switch, and they closed this thing out with four games to go. And the first thing I throw out to you and the people, everybody out there, Tyler, how the hell did they pull this off? How in the hell?
It's just what they do, man. It's clockwork.
How in the hell did they do this? And I will listen. And speaking of those like Tyler, because I don't think Tyler falls into this category, but there are some on here who are going to text in on the text line and on YouTube and Twitch. Listen, you should be excited and enjoying this thing and be ready to try to get to the eighth straight ALCS and win another championship. But I just don't believe any of you who fall into the never a doubt camp. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Like, there was some doubt in here, which I think makes this more special. Some of y'all out there, I know some of you going to text in and say, oh, I always knew we'd be here. No, not this year. There was a little bit of doubt, which makes this more incredible. And again, man, how the hell they pulled this thing off? How in the hell they just pulled
Cream
this off?
Cream always rises to the top.
Yeah, look, I mean, it is absolutely amazing. Never been done before. I never jumped off the bandwagon, but there was plenty of doubt.
The big orange wagon.
I never jumped off the wagon, but I can't sit here and tell you that there was never a doubt. It was bad early.
Of course,
it looked like there was no path to getting back. The Astros did their part. They played great baseball down the stretch, obviously, or hell, not down the stretch. I say down the stretch since before June. The All-Star break. Yeah, let's be honest. June, yeah. It all happened unbelievably quick and fast. But I'll be honest. So, I mean, look, there was a lot of great baseball play. Tip to cap to, again, an organization, Jim Crane. Can't leave Jeff Luna off this list of just the incredible depth that man built in his time as a general manager here with the Houston Astros is literally still on display. Right now we're talking about Dana Brown getting some youngsters in the building now that he actually drafted and kind of, you know, moving some pieces around, but you're still reaping the rewards and benefiting from what Jeff Luhnow built back in the day with the Houston Astros. And every year that passes like this, you look at it and you go, wow. I mean, just how good was this organization? And they're still great now. Don't get me wrong. I hear you, baby. Don't get me wrong. They're still great. But Jeff Luhnow to me is we're still watching some of what he and Jim Crane and this organization built before the fall apart. And now the moves that Dana Brown, you couple that with some of the moves that Dana Brown has made recently, none bigger than that who? You say Kikuchi.
Hey.
Dana Brown knows that good Kikuchi now, and they have that was a monster move. So much good going for the Astros. I just can't help, Ron, but see the success and not remember or think about it, just how deep this organization is. Because you look at Eric Getty and Hunter Brown, and look, I don't know. I may be crossing some lines here with Jeff Luhnow. I don't know exactly where it ends and where the new begins, but this system being as deep as it is and these prospects that just keep coming up and not just playing well but being absolute difference makers on a team that wins at a level that we hadn't seen anybody do in a long time. I gotta tip my cap to those guys. Also, Ron, I'm gonna be honest with you, man.
What are you about to do?
I've been hard on one guy.
You gonna do something, man?
No, I ain't gonna do anything stupid now. I mean, you know me better than that now. I'm gonna stick to my guns. I'm not gonna change. Well, there you go. I'm not gonna change my opinion. We're not there yet.
You can. I just want to. You can change it with new evidence.
As I've said before, I just don't. I think Joe Espada has done a good job. Joe Espada weathered an unbelievable storm this year, and the organization.
Just say it.
In a matter of a handful of weeks, got pulled out of the basement. What I will say is I found it in my heart last night, Ron.
To apologize. Go ahead.
I'm going
to
apologize. No. I'm not doing it. You can say it all you want. I'm not doing it. I'm not there. I still think there's better options out there at manager, especially for this franchise. However.
It's not ideal.
I was happy for my man last night, bro. When Julian Morales was interviewing Joe Espada after that game, he was, you could tell he was emotional. He was trying to fight back the tears.
Should be.
And I'm going to tell you, man, I was proud of him. I felt for him, and I like to see great things happen to a good man. That was hard. That was touching, man. That touched me right dead in the heart.
But you don't want to take that next step further and acknowledge and like.
No.
I'm glad that touched you.
Well, no, yeah, I'm not. I don't feel the need to take any steps. I feel like everything I've ever said is still holds true, and there's no reason to be repetitive and negative about it. It just last night, you know, I thought the man obviously did a good job this year, and last night to see it all come together and see his emotions come to the top. All the other guys had obviously had done.
It was different for him.
As a manager, and he did something that nobody's ever done. His organization did something that nobody had ever done. His team had did something that nobody had ever done. I got to tip my cap to that. Now that was impressive, and I like the emotion.
It's good. I'm sitting here on the text line, a safe space. I was off the wagon. Someone texted in. I thought they were done. Seattle's incompetence helped. At one point, I threw in the towel. But it didn't take long for me to pick that thing back up. listen, I heaved the towel. Someone here, Tommy here on YouTube and Twitch, there was some doubt, but never had the thought that they were done like some people on the radio. Listen, that was me. I thought these jokers were done. That New York Yankee series is when I grabbed that towel and I went ahead and shoved it on into the ground. I thought it was over.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
And what they did because it wasn't just like, all right, hey man, we got to pick it up. We've picked it up now, and we've got this thing going, and bam, we're now. They had to do this with injuries to Tucker. Tucker missed about 3 months. Bregman has this weird situation with the arm where he was missing down the stretch of important games. Verlander. Just wasn't Verlander at all this year, and he missed a ton of time, and they had to really lean on young dudes. Like it did not come easy. They had a bunch of adversity that occurred. And listen, I'll go to everybody because I'll speak for myself. I threw it in. Jim Crane, I wondered what the hell's going on. Dana Brown, I wondered if this was too much for you.
What is going on?
Joe Espada, Lord knows I have. And listen, hey, shout out to you guys. I apologize to all of you. Because I sure as hell had you for dead. Run over, backed up by the truck. It was over. I thought this was the time where you might see some real potential changes being made here. The Abreu situation they weathered. Shout out to those guys. They were right. I wasn't a believer of this Kikuchi thing, to be honest with you, as the big move. And that thing... That thing's worked more than they thought it would. I mean, this cat, if he wins today, he'll be 10-0. If the Astros win this start, he'll be 10-0. And by the way, they do lead 1-0. Big John was tired as hell rounding. I don't know if he scored from first, but he slid right on his ass.
No, he had a ground rule double, so he was at second.
He was at second. All right, he slid right on his ass and just got there before the tag. So they do lead 1-0. Breckman just dipped out of the game as they let him out. But no, man, this was incredible, man. The way they pulled this off, I just didn't think they had a chance whatsoever to not just get here. But they, I mean, we've known they were going to win this thing for a month. It feels like they got back and turned it around that quick. So big shout outs to them. Tyler, did you cry?
No, man, it's a division title. We have higher expectations in the city of Houston, you see.
There you go. I know you was fired up, though. I know Tyler was.
Oh, yeah. I mainly was just really happy. Like, I literally felt joy in myself scrolling Twitter last night, looking at the different, like, Major League Baseball national media guys, different fans of different squads around Major League Baseball just pissed off because the Bad Orange team is still atop the West. It was beautiful. So, yeah, I had some fun.
Now, this is the test, Tyler. You had some doubt, didn't you? You had a little doubt, didn't you? I know you didn't throw in the towel, but you had a little doubt, didn't you?
Well, yeah. I don't think any logical person, you know, a month and a half into this season, there's no logical person that can say they thought this thing was going to continue 100%. But I didn't call him dead. Never gave up. Got close. Got very, very close. But no, man, they just keep doing what they do.
You know where I will concede is the long season. It's a long season, folks. As it pertains to the overall team and that record and that, like, this performance by the Astros, they've just proven, like, that model of consistency versus some of these other organizations that are obviously in the same division that just – they play streaks of really good baseball, but they can't do it consistently. Like, I'll hang up the anger, if you will, or frustration, if you will, with the folks it's a long season baseball, folks, as it pertains to a team. I'm not doing it as we start some of these other conversations we're going to have, but as it pertains to a team, I think I can just simply say, you know, I can set steady from now moving forward as an Astros fan and just trust that it's a long season. It's all going to work itself out.
Well, I mean, I had to see how it looks. Like, it can't look no worse than it did. I get where people are coming from on that. I think one of those, like, to me, sometimes lame cliches we use, it really does kind of fit in this one.
Speak for yourself.
That little championship DNA thing.
That ain't nothing lame about that. Speak for yourself.
People use it, but I'm talking about the use of it. That championship DNA. It is real. I just the lame. Like, you can see that kind of going throughout this group. That confidence. That boy. It will at some point pick up. If we could ever make and get ourselves to a point where our experience and championship DNA matters, because when you're sitting there at 7-19, hell, none of that matters. But if they could ever get it to a place and track down the Mariners to a place where that mattered, and that mattered, I don't believe if they didn't have that type of history and experience that they would have been able to pull through this and make it easier to pull through with young guys that they had to count on. The pitchers, Eric Hedy, you talked about, and the countless guys from Sugarland that they brought up here that had to be a part of this thing. So So shout out to the Astros. They kicked it real. That's our baseball talk presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on the iPhone 16 Pro. As we said, we are live here at Pitch 25 in Edo. So come on out. There you go. You don't have to. You know, she's a dancer too. You don't have to. She don't have to say it to herself. Look, she had a big day. I saw her on the news doing interviews on the news and stuff. All right, I can't wait. I can't wait. But come on out. We got a dancing bartender out here who's having a good time, and we'll hook you up as we'll be here till 6 o'clock. Also coming up, we expect and hope to hear from the head coach of the Houston Texans, DeMeco Ryans. Will speak to the media, and this will be interesting because this is the first bit of adversity that the Texans really have had to deal with this year, and we'll hear about some of the injury stuff from him. So hopefully that is coming up here in about 10 minutes or so. But I want to play the game, Clint. This is a new game that's sweeping the nation. You started it a little bit yesterday, a little would you rather. Would you rather here.
Okay.
Coming here on the drive right here on Sports Radio 610. And in honor of the Astros coming to a point where they win the division, and we know they're going to be in the playoffs, we know that they're going to be the 3 seed. They cannot go up. They cannot go down. We know now where they're going to be. It's just going to be a matter of who they play. And it looks like it could be the right now today, if it ended, it would be the Tigers. It could be the Royals, the Tigers, or the Twins, and the Mariners have an outside chance of that. But those would be the teams that have to play. And this is the thought, 713-572-4610. You can jump in on this, those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well. Would you rather? Who would you rather have in center field moving forward as the postseason starts? Would you rather have Mauricio Dubon, or would you rather have the guy who has started there the bulk of the season, young Jake Meyers? Who would you rather have?
You got to kick the ant bed, don't you?
We got to get down to business here. Well,
it is business time, ain't it?
Creighton's got to stick to his guns.
Ron Hewley.
He's dug in.
Now, I would respect him if he said what the truth is. But he's got to stick to his gun. 713-572-4610, those of you on YouTube and Twitch, would you rather in center field in the playoffs when the games that matter? Because Clint said Joe and them will make the right decision. They'll make the decision that makes sense when the games really matter. Who would you rather have in center field in the postseason?
It is without a doubt. You give me Mauricio Dubon. I mean, there ain't no doubt about it. And for those that believe that there is a difference in the level of defense that Dubon can play versus Meyers, I will give up. I will forego that level of defense, that gap, whatever defense you're giving up, I will shelve it for the better hitter. I know early on after Jake's really hot start, there's a lot of folks leaning into OPS this, OPS that. You look at the two batters, the two hitters right now, it's relatively the same, 648 Dubon, 652 for Meyers right now. And then Dubon's hitting for a higher average. The on-base percentage is higher. And he's got fewer at-bats, fewer opportunities. Some would say, same folks that were arguing about Meyers would say that Dubon did not have a very good year this year. His numbers ended up better than Meyers. So I don't know. It's a simple decision for me. And then when it boils down to just watching the Astros, which I tend to lean towards anyway, I firmly believe, strongly believe, significantly believe more in Mauricio Dubon simply getting a quality at bat in critical moments tenfold more than I do Jake Meyers.
Yeah.
So I would go Mauricio Dubon without a doubt.
I see people here saying Dubon. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, PJ says Doobie is where he goes.
The last couple months, Jake Meyers, he's been an automatic out. Like, with the bat in his hand, he's not doing anything.
He's got a little Maldonado feel to him. He's got some power. He's got a little power. That's the only thing that he has on him.
Can we rephrase that, though, T, and let's just be honest. There was 2 months where he wasn't that in his since he's been an Astro.
Yeah.
Outside of 2 months, yeah.
I mean, there was, like, these numbers that I just talked about, like, they're they're still where they are right now because dude had a crazy month, 6 week work or 6 weeks, however long it was, worth of baseball. That is not the has not been the norm for him. So, look, I hate to bag on Jake, and I hope Jake busts out of this at some point next year. But right now, I got to ride with Dubon 10 out of 10.
Let's listen. Hopefully, we'll hear from the head coach, DeMeco Ryans, as he speaks to the media. We'll hit to NRG coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents live from Pitch 25, thanks to Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. It's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, as we are live here at Pitch 25 here in Edo, so come hang out and have yourself a good time. And you know, when The Drive comes out, we're not empty-handed. Now, not only do you have and will you have all of the she's dancing again. All of the drinks that you have, they've got so many beers on tap. You can get any kind of mixed drinks, whatever. Not only do you have that, they got a happy hour from 3 to 6. You don't want to miss that. And listen, they got great food. The wings I have had here. Tyler, you drugged me here on multiple occasions. Not really drug. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I like that spot.
They've got the wings. Wings are delicious. Burgers are good. Loaded fries. You don't want to miss that. And listen, this is a good spot for pre- and post-game, for Dynamo games, for Dash games, for Texans watch parties, for Astros game. And I'm telling you, this place is going to fill up when this Astro game concludes. So you want to get down here and come hang out with us. And as I said, we're not empty-handed, baby. Not only do you got a little great whiskey I'm going to let Clint tell you about in a bit, but you got a chance to win a couple of $50 gift cards to Speck. To Specs, two of them, not one. We are going to be handing out, right? We got two.
There's
gonna,
two of them.
We're going to be
two
handing
of them.
Out.
Check the envelope, yes, sir. Confirmed.
Yes, we are going to be hooking two different people up with $50 gift cards. All you got to do is when you walk in the door, sign your name, put it in our raffle box, and you can enjoy yourself. But this is another Sagamore, Dane.
Yes, indeed. In fact, with those Specs gift cards, you're more welcome to do whatever you'd like to do with them.
You but have some advice, though, right?
I would recommend that you walk in your local liquor store and you ask for Sagamore. It's pretty simple. But today at Pitch 25, you mentioned it. Sagamore Rye Whiskey. We've got a few different choices here. The Frozen Orange Crush. Ron, you had one of those last time we were over at the Westin.
Delicious.
They had that. Clearly, it was a popular choice.
I might have one again today.
Right. You also, the American Godfather and the Cold Fashioned. Right, along with those
the
are all
the cold fashion.
Cold fashion, not all the cold.
That. I might try that
fashion. Right, these cats back here got leather aprons on. It's disrespectful to our drinkologist. I know, mixologist. I know, but these ain't your average everyday. Now these cats right here on a different level mixing these drinks now, and then they're gonna do it with Sagamore. So come on through and get you one. Also, obviously, there's some little small tastings here of Sagamore Rye Whiskey. I encourage that as well because once again, it's that sweeter, more approachable rye whiskey that you can enjoy here, or you can slide in your local liquor store and ask for. I don't know about you, but sweeter, more approachable. You know, I like that in when I'm dealing with many things, but in my whiskey.
Oh yeah,
it's my go-to.
That makes sense. So get on down here. Come on out, Pitch 25 here in Edo.
Were you sweeter and more approachable than normal? Were you sweeter, more approachable than normal? I would say so.
Sometimes. Sometimes you can get
not
there.
Not now. Now, I mean, now you're bitter and unapproachable. But, I'm talking about back in your day.
Back in my day. There's a time.
I mean, you strike me as a little sweeter, more approachable. But anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right, let's get to it, guys. DeMeco Ryans will hopefully have his press conference for you, but I'm certain he's probably, Clint, going to address some of the injury concerns and – as they start back to practice, we'll let you know here a little bit later the more extensive injury report. But today his top two running backs didn't practice again. And they didn't practice and they didn't play last week in last week's game. And that is Joe Mixon, who has the ankle, according to reports from Aaron Wilson. He is day-to-day. And then Damian Pierce, who they feel a little bit better about with the hamstring, that he could get back to practice. However, both of them did not return, so it was Akers again at that top back spot. And so it looks like they feel better about about Damian Pierce as opposed to Joe Mixon. And my thought to you and the folks out there, as we've seen through games, three games, if it is that on Sunday against Jacksonville, are you still more comfortable with Cam Akers being the top back as opposed to Dameon Pierce, despite how they feel?
No, I'm comfortable with either of the guys.
Oh, are you?
I personally believe that the better option is Cam Akers, yes. But I am comfortable.
Have you come around on that a little bit? Because it seemed right before the season started, it seemed like you were like, yo, it needs to be Cam Akers.
No, I think it needs to be Cam Akers. I think Cam Akers is the better running back option for this football team, especially if the offensive line is going to not block any better than it has versus the two defenses that they played in the Bears and the Vikings most recently. However, I'm at a point with this offensive unit where if they block well enough up front, whoever is running the rock is going to make hay. And it's going to, at the very least, be a good complement to what C.J. Stroud and this pass game can do. If the blocking if it stinks the way it has the last two games, then it don't matter. You can put Barry Sanders back there if you want to. It ain't going to matter. So my opinions of either of those backs have not changed. I'm still with Cam Akers. I think Cam Akers has shown to be a back that can help this team move the football more so than Dameon Pierce. But if the O-line blocks well, I think both of them can produce. Either of them can produce, and we'll be just fine.
Yeah, Wesley here on YouTube and Twitch. Cam, the better option. O-line needs to do better and hopefully get Joe Mixon back against the Bills, if not this week. Someone on the text line saying that's why it is Cam Akers, because you can't depend that the offensive line is going to block better.
Well, I'll tell you this. I will say this.
Because I feel like that's the thought, right?
Yeah, I agree. But here's the thing. Here's the beauty of Dameon Pierce. If we're gonna look at a silver lining here or build a case, right, is with Dameon Pierce, it's clear they're going to go more pin and pull, more G-schemes type stuff versus the outside zone. And let's be honest. The outside zone was good for one game. It's been bad for two games, right? Like that approach. So, and they try to do some other things. I'm not saying that they haven't varied.
And honestly, for one runner.
Right. Well, but if you're going to go with Dameon Pierce, you know that you're going to get a heavy load of probably a different scheme. So I'll be honest with you, that would be refreshing. To see some different schemes instead of, well, we can't toss this thing and get outside, so to hell with it. We're just going to keep calling it and hope we can one day. Like at least now you're going to see a different scheme. And that would be, again, it'd be refreshing to see if this group can make that happen versus consistently beating your head against the wall on the outside zone.
Well, we'll see. For some, it feels like it's obvious. Well, what they've told us is week one, Cam Akers wasn't even dressed, and he was inactive with Dameon Pierce as the clear backup.
Right.
And it took Dameon Pierce injuries to allow Cam Akers, it seems, to not to be active. So that's what they have said early. We'll see how they feel after seeing Cam Akers the last 2 weeks. All right, coming up here, our guy, Tony Gwynn Jr., he witnessed a triple play to end the game last night, by the way. Called that with the Padres and the Dodgers. We'll get his thoughts on here, as it is great to have him the day after the Astros finish this thing out. And we'll get from him who he thinks is a better matchup for the Astros in the AL wild card. Tony Gwynn Jr.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Joins us next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Live from Pitch 25, thanks to Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. It's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome in as we are live, Pitch 25. Ito, get on down here. You got a couple of $50 gift cards from Specs that you can win. All you got to do is register and put your name in our raffle box, and you will have that opportunity to win. Just an update real quick. As the Astros, they continue to lead 1-0 in the sixth. You say Kikuchi.
Who's that?
I say Kikuchi. There you go. He's in a little bit of trouble for the first time. We'll see if he can survive this thing, but he has gone 5 innings, 6 strikeouts thus far, and he continues his dominance, looking to get his 10th time that he has started, and the Astros would be 10-0 if this lead holds since he's been traded, which is we've talked about it. I don't know if it's the best trade because I'm not sure what everybody else did, but it's got to be right up there. But let's have our guy jump in, our Odyssey Sports Radio 610 MLB insider, Tony Gwynn Jr., who joins us. And, Tony, they clinched last night. They win the West after being 7-19 early on, 10 games back not that long ago, it seems like, of the Mariners. We had conversations. Listen. You didn't throw in the towel. You didn't. You didn't say it was over like I did. But you clearly had some wonders. And I'm from you. Are you surprised that the Astros were able to actually come all the way back and win this thing rather comfortably?
I'm not. I'm not surprised. I might have had questions about, you know, if they could maintain it. If they
it was
could
bleak, Tony.
It was bleak. They didn't have the pitching at the time. The offense wasn't really clicking the way it started to. But I also said that I believe in the back of a lot of these dudes' baseball cards. And those dudes showed up. And then on top of that, the Astros do what I think has been part of the reason they've been on this run is they find some young pitching somewhere. And the job that Blanco's done this year, Arrigetti, Brown kind of coming into his own. Those things can cover up a lot, and it bought them time in a division that is was weak this year. And I think Joe Espada deserves a ton of credit because, yeah. You know, early on, you didn't know what to expect, and it's you start to miss the things that you had. But over time, I think what it came down to was him being in that organization prior to taking this job. Having relationships so that when it got tough, they knew who they had. So those guys were able to kind of keep their nose in there, and here they are, another division championship.
Tony, one of the more powerful things of what the Astros have done, and this goes back to the run that they're on overall, not just this year, but you know, you hear Brady and Belichick and all those guys in the run that they made and they talked about it. You know, a lot of times if you just don't beat yourself and you just allow other teams and other organizations, if you give them enough time, they're going to ultimately beat themselves. A big part of what the Astros were able to do and make the comeback and make it so quick was that the Mariners are just an organization. Yes, they're good. They got good pitching. They swing it well from time to time. But they just don't have the ability over 162 to play at a high enough level to hold on to that lead. And I don't say that to minimize what the Astros do. I say that to acknowledge what the Astros are and what they're all about. I think this is a season where it's indicative of just that, man. The power, the staying power through 162 of the Astros is unbelievable.
It truly is. I heard no lies in what you said. I mean, yes, the Astros were able to get their stuff together and play better down the stretch. But make no mistake about it, they did it in part because Seattle basically, you know, they peed down their leg. And so, you know, when you got the big dog chasing you, what are you going to do? And in back-to-back years, it seems like the Mariners have not been able to live up to the challenge. And you're right. They got the most talented pitching staff in baseball, in my opinion. But that's all they had. And the guys they went and traded for to possibly boost this offense didn't start playing well enough until it was too late in terms of the division. Now, they still got a shot at this, like an outside shot at this wild card. We'll see how it goes.
Tony Gwynn Jr. here with us, who decided to go with pee down their leg, could have gone with choked, collapsed. But he went for that 713-472.
I was thinking much worse, and then I realized I was on radio. So I had
and we appreciate that tone. We appreciate it.
Punked out 713-572-4610. What else could Tony have used instead of peed down their leg? I would love to hear that. 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you can have some suggestions as well. Listen, I think one of the big things that has happened here in the last week is Justin Verlander took, and I think Clint said this earlier this week, which I thought was great, took Joe Espada, Dana Brown, off the hook. He did an interview after his last, you know, start, which was another struggle where he gave up 8 runs and said, I completely understand if I'm not on the playoff roster. Now, I don't know if they'll do that. I would still like him in a piggyback role if you had to get there. I would still trust that. But it could have gone another way. He could have said something else that made this thing tougher. But I think it was very, very selfless of Justin Verlander to come out and say, hey, I'm not even going to put no pressure on having to deal with me. It's an easy decision. I'm saying I should be on it.
Ron, without a doubt, man. I mean, he took the whole organization off, and he removed any distraction. You know, I mean, I think it takes a lot for a dude of his stature, yep, and who has been so good for so long, to, in an interview, basically say, "Listen, I get it. If you don't have me on the roster, I understand." Now, I watched Joe Espada earlier this morning not commit to that at this point. I think they want to see one more start from him, but those are the type of moves that, quite frankly, the Astros have made all season long. They've made these moves that a lot of people didn't think they would make, and they've all been to the benefit of the team.
Well, what do you do, Tony, with Verlander? I mean, I remember, and maybe you or heck Tyler, I'm pretty sure, could probably remember to a T, but I remember in one of the Astros series, in a playoff series, getting down to a point, I think it was in a World Series actually, where the only guy they had to turn to was Greinke, who they thought could give them maybe 3 innings, right? I mean, to me, there's an emergency situation out there. At the very least, there's an emergency situation out there that I've seen the Astros get in before, and if this particular team gets into one of those situations, I would love to have Verlander to lean on. I don't give a damn what he does the last month and what he does in his next start. That means surely for Verlander, there's that spot on a roster, right? Is it that cut and dry, or is it more difficult than that?
I would say that's it. Once you've been able to remove, you know, him being in the rotation, I should say him removing himself, basically, I think it opens up the door for you to be creative. And so, yeah, you can get him on there. And I think the other thing is important to remember, this is the first time that I can remember since with the new format in 2020, we didn't have it, that the Astros don't have a bye or aren't going to have a bye, you know. And so that's a little bit longer road. So I think you do need, and obviously you can reset your rosters, you don't have to go into each round, but still having a guy like that with his experience, I would think, is a no-brainer. But, you know, again, the Astros have made some pretty cutthroat moves all year long, so I wouldn't put it past them to not go that route either.
Yeah, Tony Gwynn Jr. joins us. Tony, we probably won't talk to you again until the matchups are set. And it looks like, obviously, the Astros are going to be the 3 seed. They cannot go up or down, but they could face several different options. They could face the Royals, who are in the five seed right now. The Tigers, who, I mean, the run that they have made to catch everybody here, they're in the 6th spot right now if it ended. And then the Twins are 2 games behind them. And you talked about the Mariners with an outside shot as they're 2.5 out of the wild card. Which matchups, as I know you watch the league, which matchups do you think would work in the Astros' favor the most out of those teams?
I would say anybody but the Royals.
Tony.
Damn it. Listen, let the man speak. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, Padres just saw Detroit. And they're a much improved team. But I didn't see anything on that roster that scared me as a, in terms of the Astros. Who was the other team outside of the Royals?
There's the Royals, the Twins, they're two back, the Tigers, and then the Mariners.
Yeah, I mean, the Twins ain't playing good baseball at all. They're nosediving right now. Yeah. And so I just look at that Royals team. They're young, and, you know, getting in is a big deal for them. And that's one of those matchups where, you know, you don't know what you're going to run into. And I think that's scarier than any of these other matchups.
Well, last time they ran into him, my hair turned blonde. So that wasn't the greatest moment for me. So there's that. All right, Tony, we appreciate you jumping on with this, man. Hey, congratulations to your Padres. A triple play to end the game, which was insane to watch last night. But I know they got in as well. So it should be a fun postseason, and we hope to talk to you throughout this postseason run.
You guys have a good one.
All right, that's our Odyssey Sports Radio 610 MLB Insider, Tony Gwynn Jr., as he joins us here as we are live here at Pitch 25 here at Edo. Get on down here, all right? You can now order drinks up in this piece at this point now. As soon as you walk up in this thing, you can order drinks, get you some food, because I know I'm about to. But big 3-3 coming up. We'll keep you updated here as the scoring change has happened here in this Mariners-Astros game. We'll let you hear from the managers. He spoke before the game, and we'll update you on the injury situation. There are multiple key pieces that did not practice for the Texans today. All of that coming up next right here live on The Drive.